Stephen. We're staying in the region now and Israel's border with Syria, where Irish soldiers are back at their base camp at the Golan Heights after trying to free other UN peacekeepers from rebel forces over the weekend. Those soldiers are due to be replaced in a few weeks, and we'll be talking about that decision to Defence Minister Simon Coveney later. Defence and Security Analyst Declan Power is here now. Good morning, Declan. Thank you for coming into us.
No problem.
What's your understanding of what happened over the weekend?
Well, I think what happened over the weekend was a classic example and use of the Irish troops and their role as a quick reaction force. Members of the UNDOF mission came under pressure. We saw 44 Fijian peacekeepers being taken captive and a number of other Filipino units in isolated posts being put under pressure to capitulate. The Irish were tasked by the force commander, the Indian general, to effect a secure route out for them and a secure harbour point for those Filipino elements to be able to link up with. And this they did, and in doing so took fire from armed elements and returned fire to those armed elements. That's exactly what they were there for, and that's exactly what they've done on previous missions, including Chad and other more misbegotten parts of the planet. I think it's important for us to remember that while the mandate for this mission is a Chapter 6 mandate, the Irish were requested specifically by the UN to fill a role that would give them an armoured, harder edge to be able to give greater force protection and freedom of movement to elements of the force.
It sounds like you're in no doubt then that the Irish and the UN troops are fit for this quite dangerous mission.
And you're certainly right when you describe it as a quite dangerous mission. And what has made it dangerous is the escalation of combat between Syrian government forces and rebel elements. The mandate does not quite fit the mission at the moment. The mandate goes back to 1974 to create a demilitarised zone. Now, anybody with their head on their shoulders can see that it's not a demilitarised zone at the moment. I can understand recent statements by the minister for looking at a review of this. I think that that's not a bad idea. I think certainly any review should take place in a context of engaging with the UN. Talk of any kind of unilateral withdrawal by the Irish contingent would be disastrous for this mission.
Why? Because there have been some calls for this mission, for the Irish mission at least, to be ended or called off because, as you said, of those changed circumstances.
Well, let me be quite frank. If you pulled the Irish quick reaction force out, you're taking away the hard edge for that mission. It would not be able to function. It would collapse. And even if you had a country that was willing and able and ready and on standby to put in troops with the same level of equipment and the same level of training, and I'm not saying that the Irish are the only ones that have that, they wouldn't be able to filter in quickly enough and get familiar with the ground and the current tactical as well as strategic situation to be of the same use. It would be disastrous. It would be a complete volte-face of our foreign policy and our current stance in trying to give legitimacy to UN actions.
What about negotiating with the militants? Is that possible in your view, and who could do that negotiating?
Negotiations, as I understand it, are taking place with the militants and would have been even before this particular crisis.
By our troops?
Not specifically our troops. And that I say that on the basis that it's normally liaison officers that are appointed from the headquarters element, from in this case UNDOF headquarters. And those liaison officers, their role is to establish a relationship with all armed elements in their area of operations. In doing so, it means it's easier to de-escalate tension. You get to know the person opposite you at a negotiating table, and that can make a difference. The problem here for those officers is that they're dealing with people who don't represent a state.
Yeah,
and aren't
just
bound.
Remind us, what militants are we talking about here?
Primarily, we appear to be talking about militants from Jabhat al-Nusra, which is the al-Qaeda-affiliated rebel grouping.
That's Islamic. Not ISIS then, no?
No, ISIS are not involved in this part of Syria. And while Jabhat al-Nusra are Islamic fundamentalists, they have sundered any links that they had to ISIS. ISIS are just, too fundamentalist, too extreme for them. And it's important for us to remember that we can't use a big brush to paint the rebel forces all as one uniform group. There are a disparate group, and it's the al-Nusra Front, as mentioned, that seem to be the ones in ascendancy here. Now, what we can be fairly sure of is that the UNDOF contingent are aware of this. They have been dealing with them in one shape or form on the ground in their neighbourhood. And so that will make a difference in trying to resolve this particular crisis and get these peacekeepers released. Now, there's a kind of a double-edged strategy at play here. It's because it's a Chapter 6 mission and a lightly armed force, they don't have the over-the-horizon support that they would have had that on peace enforcement missions, where you would be able to call in fast air support in the form of jets from an aircraft carrier or gunships if you got into a firefight. But also, the rebel forces don't seem to want to engage in overt acts of aggression against the peacekeepers. They're affecting some sort of a strategy. It's the negotiator's job to try and find that strategy and find a halfway ground. But it's also the job of units like the Irish Quick Reaction Force to show resolve and capability. And that gives a stronger hand to the negotiators.
We'll be talking about all this too, as I said, Defence Minister Simon Coveney a little later in the programme. But just before we were talking to you, we heard from not that far away from the Golan Heights. It's the further capture of land in the West Bank, a very large capture of land by Israelis who want to build more settlements there. It just ratchets up the tension in the region, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't help, but I think your previous speaker explained it very well. Essentially, the Israeli government are having to service the needs of their more right-wing internal population, and that this also is probably a reaction to a degree of triumphalism that was shown by Hamas with using words about having won their element of the war, and they're just saying that there are consequences to those actions. And I can't see any strategic benefit for taking this land. I mean, it'll probably be dressed up as that, but it seems to be, well, this is a consequence of that. We're kind of punishing you for this. Having said that, though, I think it does behove us to look on the Israeli reaction to the current events on the Golan. Normally, it would not be unusual for the Israelis to react fairly robustly. They have taken a pace back. They have been supportive to the UN and to the UNDOF mission in this, and they have shown restraint. And the Israeli media, in particular, were quite positive, and they lauded the actions of the UN force. That's unusual, and that's a positive note to take, the way they're behaving at the moment on the Golan.
Declan, thanks for coming in. That's security and defence analyst Declan Power.